Let us now read from Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth, even every one that is called by my name. For I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes and the deaf that have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together and let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show us former things? Let them bring forth their witnesses that they may be justified, or let them hear and say, it is truth. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared and have saved, and I have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Yea, before the day was, I am he, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? Thus saith the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. For your sake I have sent to Babylon, and have brought down all their nobles and the Chaldeans, whose cry is in the ships. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea, and a path in the mighty waters, which bringeth forth the chariot and horse, the army and the power. They shall lie down together, they shall not rise. They are extinct, they are quenched as tow. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness, and rivers in the desert. The beast of the field shall honor me, the dragons and the owls, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. But thou hast not called upon me, O Jacob, but thou hast been weary of me, O Israel. Thou hast not brought me the small cattle of thy burnt offerings, neither hast thou honored me with thy sacrifices. I have not caused thee to serve with an offering, nor wearied thee with incense. Thou hast bought me no sweet cane with money, neither hast thou filled me with the fat of thy sacrifices, but thou hast made me to serve with thy sins. Thou hast wearied me with thine iniquities. I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. Put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified. Thy first father has sinned, and thy teachers have transgressed against me. Therefore I have profaned the princes of the sanctuary, and have given Jacob to the curse, and Israel to reproaches. Thus far the reading of God's infallible word. Dear congregation, Isaiah 43 is a wonderful chapter that has been used by God over the years to comfort so many of His people. How many have been strengthened by such words as, I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. Or verse 2, so many of God's people have been encouraged by this, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and so forth. What a wonderful, wonderful chapter this is. For 21 verses, the Lord spills out promise after promise to His people. Glorious promises of His faithfulness. And all these promises focus around one theme. I am He. I am the one to look to. I am the one to live unto. I am the one to serve. I am the one to worship. I'm your Savior. Believe me. Trust me. Follow me. God is reassuring and reassuring His people for 21 verses. But then suddenly in verse 22, God complains. Complains about His people. Charges Israel in 22 through 24 that they have not worshipped Him with all their heart. That they have not brought the sacrifices He requires. And as you read these verses, your heart gets heavier, doesn't it? God so good to Israel. And then Israel so bad to God. And you expect, when you get to verse 25, you expect God to say, now I, even I, will curse you and spew you out of my mouth. Such a half-hearted, such a faltering, half-worshipping people. But the terrible indictment that we expect is not there. Instead, in verse 25, there is this amazing, amazing statement of grace right on the heels of this terrible exposure of Israel's poverty. And it's that that we want to look at with you. This amazing declaration, verse 25 this morning. I, even I, am He that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake and will not remember thy sins. With God's help, we want to look at this theme, the blotting out of transgressions. First, we'll see the need for it, which is 22 through 24 will be our focus here. Second, its source, I, even I. And third, its accomplishment, am He that blotteth out thy transgressions. And then part of the third point, as well as the fourth and fifth, we hope to take up at the table. Fourth, its motive, for mine own sake. And fifth, its promise, and will not remember thy sins. So the blotting out of transgressions, its need, source, accomplishment, motive, and promise. God does something wonderful in our text this morning. He does the complete opposite of what we would expect. When we look at verses 22 through 24, dear friends, what need there is for forgiveness of sin. And please look at these verses with me just a moment. 22 through 24. Do you notice as your eye scans over them that nearly every phrase deals with a sin of omission? Now, we are guilty, of course, of sins of commission, thousands of them. And we need forgiveness for those as well. But God goes deeper into Israel's heart. And God says, the real problem here is you are not being what you are called to be. You are committing sins of omission. Look at verse 22. Thou hast not called upon me, O Jacob. Which means, of course, you have not prayed to me. Now, that doesn't mean that they weren't praying at all, of course. I'm sure they had their stated times of prayer. But they weren't wrestling with God in prayer. They weren't truthfully, sincerely calling upon Him with a broken heart. He goes on in verse 22, but thou hast been weary of me, O Israel. So they went around their religious duties, but they did them with a kind of weariness. They didn't enjoy worshiping God. They didn't relish His presence. Then the Lord says in verse 23, thou hast not brought me the small cattle of thy burnt offerings. Another sin of omission. They thought if they would bring a lamb or a sheep from their flock that it would be too much, really. They needed these animals for their own livelihood. So they made do with inferior sacrifices. And yet the Lord says, I have not caused thee to serve with an offering, nor weary thee with incense. In other words, why are you doing this, Israel? I haven't put undue burdens upon you. I haven't called for sacrifices more than you could make. I've only asked for small things, and you're giving me yet smaller. You are sinning by not even giving me the little I ask for. Then verse 24. Thou hast brought me no sweet cane with money. Which means, you haven't brought me those ingredients for incense. You see, those ingredients were expensive to buy on the market. And Israel thought, well, we'll come with inferior ingredients. We don't want to pay such a high price. Then again, verse 24, thou hast not filled me with the fat of thy sacrifices. In other words, if you did bring me cattle, it was lean cattle that you could spare. It was the leftovers, not the first fruits. My altar, therefore, didn't run over with fat that is pleasing in my sight. Well, congregation, if we translate all this into today's language, then don't we have to confess that we are just like Israel? Guilty of so many sins of omission. Our religion, too often formal, thankless, and fruitless, and not self-sacrificial. We pray, but how often is our heart really in our prayers? We have our private devotions, but how little time do we really spend in real contact with God? The world demands so much from us. So we're often preoccupied with the things of time and sense. Our public worship even is seldom genuine spiritual worship. Our heart is often not in it. Often we don't see it as a highlight to come to church, to worship God. What a sad thing this is. God has to complain about us that we are half-hearted worshipers, that we are backslidden and cold and distant. And if you say this morning, well, then I might as well stay away from the Lord's Supper because I'm not worthy of such a privilege, because this is indeed what I am. Well, I answer, of course, that's exactly right. Then if you look to yourself, then you do have to stay away from the Lord's Supper. And I have to stay away from the Lord's Supper. If we look at what we deserve since the last Lord's Supper, the table would be empty. But thanks be to God. Though there is all this need for forgiveness because of the sins of our omission, and many more sins of omission that aren't mentioned here. Praise be to God. God goes on to say, I, even I, am He that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake. Yeah, who can comprehend this? God exposing Israel, exposing her need for forgiveness, and then declaring that forgiveness. And God Himself being the source of it. That's how He begins, doesn't He? I, even I. That's the amazing grace. The God against whom we have sinned is willing to forgive, though He hates sin. He's a holy God. He doesn't wink at sin. The Bible says sin is an abomination in His sight. God hates it with holy hatred. He's holy, He's righteous, He's just, He will punish sin. He's fearfully displeased with sin. For sin is primarily an attack upon God. Sin is challenging God, yet the living God, so deeply offended by it, is so willing to forgive it. What a mystery. The God whose laws we have broken every day forgives sin. The God we offend, the God who hates sin, forgives sin. The only one who never allows any sin to escape His eye forgives sin. The only one who knows by experience the full depths of what sin is forgives sin. I, even I. God, in the Hebrew language, puts a double emphasis there, and it comes out fairly well in English, but in Hebrew it's even stronger. I emphatically say to you that even I shall do it. And no one else. I will not delegate it out to an angel. I will not delegate it out to a preacher or to the Pope of Rome. But I alone shall wipe away your sin. I will take pleasure in forgiving, in blotting out all your transgressions. I delight in mercy. That's what God says in this text. God is declaring He is a forgiving God. He's Exodus 34, God describes Himself as one who forgives iniquity and transgression and sin. Dear child of God, do you believe that this morning as you hope momentarily to approach the Lord's table? Sometimes we have a hard time believing that, don't we? Sometimes people say, well, God is so busy with all the affairs of the universe, why would He pay any attention to little me and forgive my sin? Why and how could He be so personal? But that's the way He is. You see, He says, I twice, but He also says, thy twice. I will blot out thy transgressions and will not remember thy sins. God's a personal God. He delights to forgive, and He delights to forgive personally. He treats every believer as if he or she were His only child. It's singular. Your transgressions. Your sins. Our God is a personal God. He's a Father who loves His child. But how does He do that? How does He accomplish that when He's holy? Well, our text says, He blotteth out. That's our third thought, the accomplishment. He blotteth out our transgressions. Now that word blotteth out is very rich indeed. It's used 33 times in the Old Testament. Blotteth out. And it means literally to utterly wipe away. It's a word that derives from erasures made in ancient leather scrolls. And someone wrote with an ink pen or ink instrument and made a mistake. That ink had to be wiped away, sponged away, washed away. And there was a method of doing that with a certain liquid so that it could not be seen at all. It was clean gone. That's the word used here. I will blot out all your iniquities. Now that word can be used negatively, it can be used positively. Negatively, its first usage was in Genesis 7, when God said He would blot out the whole human race except for Noah's family. It'd be clean gone, no trace left on the earth after the flood. 2 Kings 2, God says He'll wipe Jerusalem. He'll wipe her like someone wipes a dish, wiping it and turning it upside down. You know, boys and girls, if you get all the dirt and all the food off of a dish and you're wiping it dry, you wipe it and you turn it around, you wipe it on all sides. That's what God says He will do with the sins of His people. He will wipe them fully away like you wipe a dish. I will blot them out. Well, that's a positive meaning, of course. Moses prayed that he would not be blotted out of God's book. Isaiah 25, God speaks of wiping away all the tears from the faces of His people. But the most common meaning of this word is the one in our text. David says in Psalm 51, verse 1, blot out my transgressions. In other words, wipe them away, Lord. Wipe the slate clean. Wipe the dish clean. Wipe my life clean. Erase it perfectly. God says here, that's what He'll do. As surely as He is God, the whole chapter is declaring that He is God. And now He says, I, even I, the one who has been declaring who I am to you, I shall blot out all your transgressions. Even I shall do it. The next chapter, Isaiah 44, verse 22, He says, I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions. So this is a very beautiful, complete picture, isn't it? God will, in an all-encompassing way, in a complete way, not partially wipe away, but totally wipe away, not a certain number of sins, but all our sins, sins of omission, sins of commission, original sin, actual sin, sins against law, sins against gospel, sins against love, sins against the blood of Christ. I shall wipe away all thy transgressions. They are gone. They are totally gone. Eternally gone. In the Lord Jesus Christ. The entire cloud of sin. The entire mass of sin that hangs upon our lives, that hangs upon our backs like Christian and Pilgrim's Progress, they are gone when a sinner comes by faith to the cross of Christ, trusting in His blood alone. Now our sins are very bad. They are very deep. We would say it would be hard to erase them. They're deep into our hearts, deep into our lives, deep into our thinking. Yet God says, I blot them out. I blot them out. This past week, somehow, we don't know how, but in the new seminary building, on some of the wallpaper, there was some ink, something black got on there, some kind of ink, I suppose. And different methods were used to try to wipe it away. And the janitor worked hard on it. He thought he got it pretty clean. Last night, had a couple visitors, and first thing the woman did when she walked through the door, she saw that spot. It wasn't perfectly wiped away. It wasn't perfect.
You see, we can try to wipe away our own sin. We can try to rub it out of our lives. And we go so far, perhaps, and we can reform so far, but we can't blot it out. Only God can blot it out. Only God can erase it totally. And that's the comfort this morning. Dear child of God, He wants you to come to the Lord's table, and He wants you to understand, as you receive the bread, as surely as you eat it, so surely He has blotted out all your transgressions. As you drink the wine, symbolic of His blood, so surely His blood cleanses from all sin and blots it out. I, even I, am He that blotteth out all thy transgressions. Not one remaining, for Jesus' sake. Now you and I would think, of course, that God would blot them out, perhaps, if we repent enough, or if we're humble enough. But you don't read any repentance between verses 24 and 25, do you? It's sheer grace, congregation. God simply, suddenly announces that He forgives His people's sin for His own namesake. Not because they've been trying to rub at it and trying to wipe it away, trying to blot out their own sin. No. Only for the sake of Jesus. For the sake of the Isaiah 53 Savior, who was suffering, who was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. God provides a lamb Himself for a burnt offering. And that lamb is Jesus. And so when we come to the table, we come on only one ground, the Lamb of God's provision, the Lord Jesus Christ, the perfect Lamb, the God-man Lamb. And being perfect and being God Almighty, being man, being righteous man, He can blot out. God can blot out. The Father can blot out for the sake of His Son. Our every transgression. He says He'll do so. That's the grace of God. That's the free, one-sided, stupendous grace of God. I, even I, am He. You see, Israel was not even willing to give the best of their cattle. But God has given the best of heaven, His Lamb, for the slaughter, for guilty sinners. Once we grasp that, then we have every freedom, you see, to lay all our sins upon Jesus as our scapegoat, as our Savior. And He takes away the heavy cloud of our transgressions. Oh, dear children of God, may you come this morning trusting only in the Savior. Coming with all your own righteousness stripped away. You are nothing, I am nothing. We're just sinners. We're all the same that way, aren't we? We're all just big sinners who have nothing to offer God. But we come. We come clinging to the Lamb. We come believing that God casts all our sins behind His back. He throws them into the depths of the sea, in and through the Lord Jesus. And doesn't see our sin anymore. Doesn't resurrect our sin anymore. And when that seems too great to believe, well, then we plead. We cling to promises like this. I, even I, am He that blotteth out thy transgressions. We honor God when we believe His own word. When we trust His own promises, especially those that promise forgiveness. Dear friend, there is not a single sinner sitting here this morning, not you either, who has sinned too much for God to blot out your transgressions. Sometimes a mother receives a dirty shirt or something of a child. Maybe it's got some deep ink spots, or maybe a shirt of her husband. And she can't get out the spot. She tries all kinds of things. The shirt has to be thrown away. It cannot be clean. There is no such case with God. Come. Come now. And let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And so your Savior calls to you this morning. He who eats with the vilest of the vile, he who invites those who have nothing good in themselves, he invites everyone who has been stripped of his own righteousness, who cannot live without the righteousness, the cleansing power of Jesus, to come and to taste and see that the Lord is He, even He, who blots out our transgressions for His own name's sake and will not remember our sins. Amen.